Hello, everyone. Get my chat up here. Let's see, that's for participants. Let me get situated here. Y'all, it has been a while since I've done one of these coaching calls. I'm so excited to be here. Who is new? If you're new in the chat, let me know. Welcome, everybody. I'm Coach Betsy. Okay, let me get this in. Joni, welcome. Heather, you're new to coaching calls. Well, then this is new to you, right? Okay. Hold on a minute. Merge to meeting window. That's what I need to do. Okay. Oh, we got some hands raised already. Awesome. Maricia. I was just talking to Anna Maricia in Facebook. If she's here, I want her to raise her hand because I want to help her out. I've been helping her out in Facebook, and I just told her I was coaching tonight. So let's get after it. All right, welcome, Patricia. And how's everybody doing? Okay, well, we got a line of people already. So I want to just introduce myself really quick since I think maybe this is the first call I've done since a lot of you all joined recently. And of course, we've going to have some more new members here for the next couple of days. I'm so excited to get more new folks in. So I'm Coach Betsy. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. I have been a member with Corinne forever since I think at least 2007, and I found her on a Weight Watchers message board long before Facebook came around. And ever since then, I stuck with her. I stuck with her through, I'll say thick and thin because I think I was a member for several years. And this was way, again, way before Facebook, way before she had, we had all, this big website and everything, but I just knew there was something about her. And I was with her for years and didn't lose any weight. I actually didn't get serious about losing weight the first time until 2011. And I lost about 50 pounds. This was before we really had incorporated a lot of the thought work into PNP. And we were doing just exercise and we were counting calories and all that kind of stuff. And I lost about 50 pounds. But then in 2013, I went through a really big breakup. I broke up with my boyfriend of 19 years and I moved out of my house and I moved into an apartment, moved into a new city and all that kind of stuff. And I gained some of the weight back because I had not worked on my thoughts around things and I just ate to not feel, right? That's what a lot of us do. And so in 2015, I decided to lose weight again with PNP for the last time. And so I did, and I'm down about 70 pounds from my highest weight. And then in about 2 years ago, I'm coming up on my 2 year anniversary of working for PNP full time. So got certified by the Life Coach School a couple of years ago. And living the dream, y'all. It's just amazing how and what's so amazing during this time is how we can help you all just as much as we always have, if not more, during this time, because a lot of you all are home, you're able to listen to more of our calls, you've got the time, and we can be here for you, right? Because it's all online. I mean, how awesome is that, right? So just let me know if you have any questions about that. But just a few little housekeeping things. So be sure that your chat is set to all panelists and attendees so that we can see you in the chat. And if you are interested in getting coached, then you can raise your hand. There's a raise hand button down here somewhere, probably whether you're on your computer or your phone. And let me see if there's anything else I need to tell you all. Be sure that if you do want to get coached, that you have good lighting, good internet connection, all that good stuff. And let's see if there's anything else. Oh, and y'all don't forget about all in April. It is April 1st. No fooling. It's April 1st and we're doing all in April. So you should have received an email about that a couple of days ago. So if you're not getting our emails, just email support@pnptribe.com and Corinne's mama, we call her Mammy. She will get you all fixed up if you need to email her. And so we're focusing on, so what are the four things we're focusing on, y'all? And then I'll get to coaching. What we can control, right? That's one of the things. What we're going to do with our movement. Actually, we had an interesting discussion in Slack today about it's kind of these four big overarching things. Control. So what do I have control over today? Connection. Who am I going to connect with today? In terms of who you're going to call or text or, you know, you're going to hug your kids or whatever it is. Movement. How are you going to get some movement in today? And then clean mind and body. So I'll tell y'all real quick. Thank you, Sapphire. You had all of them. I'll tell y'all real quick what mine were for today. So control. What I have control over is the amount of sleep that I get. I actually was intentional about going to bed a little bit earlier last night. Not quite as early as I may go to bed tonight. Sometimes, y'all, at night, I just get excited. I get to go to bed because I love to sleep. And last night, I actually slept in our extra bedroom because my husband and I, we usually go to bed at the same time. But if I go to bed early, he doesn't want to go to bed yet. He doesn't want me to sleep in bed with him because when he gets in bed, he scares me and wakes me up. I don't remember any of it, but he just, you know, is like, just, you know, so we just agreed for me to sleep in the guest bedroom last night. No, you know, we weren't mad at each other or anything, but, it was good to just get a, you know, I was going to say good night's sleep, but I get a good night's sleep every night. So that's one thing I have control over is my sleep. My connection. So I have a group of three girlfriends from college that I'm really close with. And we've started texting each other every day, during this time. And it's just been such a blessing. So I wanted to be sure and connect with them today. Again, my movement, I, get up every morning at 5 a.m. and do a workout. And I did get to feel like a guest in my own home. I'm telling y'all what, it's pretty awesome to like sleep in a bed by yourself when you don't always, right? Like you get to go to a hotel or something like that. And then I've got this weighted blanket on that bed. So I don't even move all night. I don't move. It was good. It was some good sleep. Movement. So I, you know, I don't get paid by these people, but I am part of a program. I did this way before all this, social distancing happened. I work with a program called Trainiac. It's like TRAINIAC. It's a website. It is an online personal training program because I belong to a gym, like a 10 fitness gym. And I wanted someone to just give me workouts and tell me what to do, but I didn't really want to pay a lot of money for, you know, someone to meet me at the gym and all that kind of stuff. I don't need that, but I just didn't want to have to think about my workouts. And so I just Googled it one day and I found this program and I have been working with this guy named Matt for probably at least 7 or 8 months now. And I think he's up in Vermont or something like that. And we work through an app. We can send videos to each other. We can send messages to each other and he gives me workouts every week. And so I have set up a little, home gym outside. I'm going to post a picture of it tomorrow in the All In April, just for fun. But I have like a few little weights and a little mat out there and, a little weight rack, nothing like what Corinne has, but I have enough to do, you know, to get it done. And I've just liked going out there to my little home gym, you know, my little home gym. So that's what I do for movement. And then my clean mind and body is that I am committing every single day to do at least one thought, download, and model. I schedule time in the morning to do that, to journal. But I will tell you all, it's April 1st and I think I've done 3 or 4 today. So that's how I clean out my mind every day. And then my body is, you know, I bathe every day, most days. Maybe there's a day on the weekend that I take a break from showering every once in a while. But I get up and get dressed. You know, this working from home thing is kind of old hat to me. And so it just makes such a huge difference to get up and get dressed and, you know, run a brush through your hair, maybe put on a little mascara. It just does wonders because it tells your brain, like, it's time to do the day, right? Whatever you're doing, it's always a thought, right? But it's like, you know, just bathing or putting on your mascara or whatever is just the circumstance, right? But it tells your brain, okay, we're doing something today, whatever that is, right? Even if you're not going to work, even if you're taking care of the kids, it just gets your mind right for the day. So, all right. Ooh, Sapphire, I will call on you. You're second. Annie is first, then Sapphire, then Quentin B. And then we'll go on down the line after that. So Annie is up first. All right, y'all, let's get going on this. Didn't want to talk too long. Okay. Are you there? I'm going to ask you to start your video. Hello, there you are. Hi, are you there? Oh, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let's see. No. Let me make sure it's not me. Okay, say something real quick. No. You might need to set up the audio settings on your phone. Let's see if there's something. Let me unmute. Have you done a call before? Okay. I'm gonna take you back down. I want you to y'all put in the chat too exactly what she needs to do. And then just raise your hand again, and I'll get you whenever you come back up. Okay, Sapphire, you are up. Okay, go to audio settings and choose your headset. I'm telling y'all, I've been doing this for so long that I've got everything set up already. Let's see. It's a little slow here. Try that again. Okay. There you go, Laura. Calling out Laura for getting in the shower. I have an awesome little shower speaker that I listen to stuff almost every morning. I listen to podcasts. Or let's see, I may never wear makeup again. That's okay. Okay, Annie, I don't know what's going on here. I'm doing promote to pan list. Sapphire, I'm going to try you one more time. And then I'm going to go back to Annie. Annie, let me try you. We may have both of y'all on at the same time. Okay, Annie's coming up. Again, let's see. All right. Are you there?
I am.
There you are. Yay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Good deal.
Okay. Hello.
If Sapphire pops up, then I'll take her back down. But Zoom's acting just a little slow, which is understandable with
right.
Everyone on the planet using Zoom these days.
Oh, so, yes.
Yes. All right. What's going on?
So the past couple weeks and doing the thought work, I'm a January baby.
Okay.
I've discovered some, and I'm totally going to cry.
Okay. Fine.
some issues with food because we all have issues with food. Mm-hmm. So I've had some losses in my life that all were because of food or poor nutrition or something. And I kind of discovered the past couple weeks, you know, when we go to the grocery stores and the shelves are empty, and I was living in this state of anxiety for a couple weeks, and I couldn't really understand it because, you know, I'm, yes, it's a whole different world that we're living in now, but I wasn't, you know, freaking out or any of that, but, oh, hello?
Yes.
It was a whole, just different feeling that I was sitting with. And so stupid. Last week I discovered that with I'll give some background. My mom died of cancer years ago, and she was going to die of cancer anyways, but I had to deny her a G-tube. She wasn't really a sound mind when she requested it. It would have prolonged her suffering, but I had to talk her out of it. Several years ago, over a decade ago, I had premature triplets, and they all died over a period of 7 months in the NICU. They had complications, everything you can imagine. But when you take it all away, they died of poor nutrition. They couldn't have the breast milk. They had this... it's called TPN, you know, artificial nutrition that caused their liver to fail, and, you know, 7 months of hell. I have a son, and but then, boom, I have a daughter who's now six, and she was born with a rare genetic disease. It's a fatty acid oxidation and metabolic disorder, and if she can't fast or she'll die. So, I'm getting these thoughts that around food, that food is life and food is, you know, there's not enough food. If there's if people are going to die, and I've modeled it and I know it's not true. I know that there were other circumstances not within my control. You know, I'm not hoarding food by any means. I have enough, but this sense of anxiety that I've had when these shelves are empty, like I can't protect her, or I can't, I don't know.
I can't protect her. That really sounds like that's kind of your really painful thought.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah.
And I've modeled it, but everything to me comes back to food is life. No food is death. And I know that that's not true. Really, you know, I mean, we're not in danger of running out of food. I've never been food insecure, neither has she, but with the scarcity of some of these things, it's just brought up all of these issues.
But scarcity of some of these things is another thought, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, empty shelves doesn't, you know, you're making that mean that there's a scarcity of things. But then you're also saying that, you know, you're going to have enough food and things like that, right? So it's just really separate. I think for you, it's separating out the facts from the thoughts in terms of just, you know, okay, what is really happening here? There are empty shelves there, you know, and these things happened to me. But you're, you know, grouping them all together. You know, that's what your brain does, right? To try to kind of make sense of things like,
right.
Okay, I'm grouping all these have to, you know, something to do with food. And so, you know, I'm making this mean that you said, you know, food is life. No food is death.
Right.
Really. And I mean, and because that is a thought that you're kind of wanting to, you're kind of holding on to in terms of like you still, there's some part of you that believes it's true still because you have this past evidence.
Right. And with my daughter, she has to eat like every 3 hours or she, you know, if she doesn't eat for 24 hours, she will die. I mean, that's like a fact in my life. that I think I'm using differently than just a fact. Like, right. You know?
Right. I think that is not like a pure circumstance, you know, a circumstance for you. Like that has emotional, you know, right. That has emotion attached to it. So what is a circumstance that you could really see as factual and neutral in terms of your daughter?
I guess just her disease. I mean, that's a neutral,
like a diagnosis. I mean,
right. Her diagnosis is MCADD, MCADD.
Okay. MCADD. So when you see that, is that neutral to you?
It is now. She's six, you know, early on it was very scary, but now it's neutral.
Mm-hmm. So your thought is, one of your thoughts is, you know, if she doesn't eat, she'll die, you know, within 24 hours.
Right.
So how does that feel when you think that?
When she's healthy and eating, it feels okay. When she's sick and not eating as well, you know, it's scary. So I guess right now today, it's just the fact of our life. Like, yeah. That's it.
Sometimes this can kind of be a neutral circumstance.
Yeah.
For you. Other times when you have these other thoughts going on and that kind of that scarcity mindset, then it can be, you know, you said anxiety and things like that. So, but I just think this thought is like, you know what the disease entails. And right. So even saying this thought, it just doesn't sound like it's helpful for you.
Oh, I don't think it is. Yeah. I think I group her, you know, with the triplets that have passed, and they're two very different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think I just hang on to it, like this overriding food issue.
Mm, yeah. And that's something to just, you know, to be aware of just like, okay, I find my brain kind of trying to group all these things together, but they're really just each a separate circumstance that happened. And this is, you know, and you want to work on unintentional and intentional models for each one of those. Because even at the very beginning of your call, you said, I've had a lot of losses in my life, right? That is actually a thought. You know, that's not a neutral circumstance to you.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of really hearing how you talk to yourself, where you're thinking that you're just kind of stating the news, right? That you're just kind of stating the facts of your life and kind of what's happened. But you're saying it in a way that's still creating a lot of pain for you. So it's just kind of something to be aware of, something to think about, you know, just get curious about. And I mean, not that it's not that it's wrong to still feel pain, right, about things. And because we can feel whatever we want to feel about things. But what is the story that you want to tell about your past experiences? Because I also heard you say it was like a year of hell or something like that. With your triplets, right?
Yeah, it was pretty. Yes.
Yeah,
but I've been trying to think of the good, in the bad. It was so few and far between.
So it's not a matter of forgetting the bad or forgetting what happened.
Right.
I was listening to this podcast the other day, and it's like during this time, you know, it's okay to feel whatever. I mean, it's okay to feel anxious right now. It's okay to feel fear. But just give the, you know, some other emotions equal time. Like I'm feeling anxious right now, but I'm also feeling, you know, hopeful right now. Or I'm also feeling in control right now about, you know, some things that I know I have control over. You know, that's kind of one of the things that we're doing this month. And so it's just giving equal time to both, you know, positive and negative emotion. I don't really like to call it that because it's just all emotion, right? It's all vibrations in our body. But it's just thinking about the story that we tell, and do we want to keep telling those stories, you know, or do we want to kind of maybe rewrite the story a little bit?
Yeah, I think I need to. I lost my husband 4 years ago as well. So I'm kind of like rooted in loss.
And that's a, you know, and that's another thought, right? Like rooted sounds like you can't change it, right? That it's something that you can't change, or is it something that you're burdened with? And it's just a matter of, you know, it's not forgetting that it happened or anything like that, but just opening yourself up to the possibility that you're not rooted in it, right? That you can remember with some pain, but with some, you know, with some joy, and or whatever it is, and tell your story a little bit different. So, there's that. Do you know about the rewriting your past exercise on the website? Yeah.
Yes. I've started that with a few things from way back when. Mm-hmm. So I should probably do it with recent events.
Yes. Revisit that. And, you know, some of it kind of relates to maybe a specific person or something, you know, a relationship or something, but just kind of take from it what you need to just, but basically the core exercise is just you write your current story now and how you're talking about it. And you've got this, you know, you've got just how you told me your story tonight, and you could listen back to that. And then just, what's the story that you want to tell now, where it's not a totally different story necessarily, but it's something that just doesn't bring you all that pain every time that you tell it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, you've got some work to do, but I think, it's just a matter of really staying curious and aware of why, when your brain wants to, you know, wants to group these things together, and really kind of, you know, that's kind of your brain just trying to protect you and trying to make sense of things. And you have the power to rewrite that story.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Sapphire, let's try this again. And I've got to keep track of my time here. I don't know what happened. There it is. There you are.
Hello.
Ask you to start your video.
The host has asked you to start your video. Okay.
There you are. Hi.
Let's see, I put you up like this.
There you go.
I had you sideways. Right. Sorry. It's kind of hard to follow that call.
Oh, well, everyone's call is important. Everyone's call is it will always help someone. So what's going on with you?
So one thing I've discovered is I get my feelings hurt really easily, and I don't have any big drama going on in my life. I mean, the whole world's under a pandemic, but there's no recent losses or anything huge. So, I was walking, my husband was waiting in the car, and I was walking toward the car, and I was all smiling and thinking I was going to get a kiss when I got up to the window, and he just looked away, and I got so hurt. And then I just want to eat.
Why were you feeling hurt?
Because I think I'm too fat and ugly for him to want to kiss me.
Okay. So let's do the model. Are you familiar with the model? Are you new?
Yes. No, September.
Okay. So the circumstance is that your husband turned his head, right? When you
went
to kiss him. And so what is your thought?
I'm too fat and ugly for him to want to kiss.
Okay. So the thing about, you know, how we always say that he hurt my feelings or someone hurt our feelings, but that's actually not possible, right? Only we can hurt our feelings. Did you know that?
I think it comes from an outside circumstance though, doesn't it? No, well, it comes from our thought.
It comes from our thought. Exactly. So this is the outside circumstance. So if you didn't have, you know, if you weren't familiar with thought work, you would think, oh, my husband hurt my feelings. Right.
Right.
But we know that there's always a thought in here.
Okay.
And, you know, you could have thought something different and you wouldn't feel hurt about it. Right. And we can talk about that in a minute. But okay, you had a thought of, I'm too fat and ugly for him to kiss me. And that is what created the hurt, is that thought mm-hmm. that you had.
That one happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you think, you know, we don't know what he was thinking, right? We don't know why he turned his head. He may have needed to sneeze or something like that, right? I mean, it's like, you don't know, but you made it mean that you're too fat and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel hurt. And so you wanted to eat. Did you overeat?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the result is you prove this thought true, that, you know, if you think you're fat and ugly, then you want to eat just to, you know, to stay the same and to stay thinking that. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
You know, I stayed the same thinking that I'm fat and ugly. If I'm fat and ugly, then I'm just going to overeat just to stay that way.
I see.
Right. Because yeah. The result always proves the thought true.
Thought true.
Yeah. And for you newbies that just joined, this is all part of phase two of No BS, when you learn all about the model and how thoughts work and all that kind of stuff. So it's just important to know that, you know, other people can't hurt our feelings. Other people can't disappoint us. Other people can't, we can't bother other people, because if they feel bothered, that's because that's from a thought they're having. Right. And so we just can't put, no one can put feelings, you know, create feelings in us, just like we can't create feelings in anyone else.
Okay.
Yeah. So have you thought about what you might want to think instead about what happened?
No, but that thought happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I eat a lot because I'm thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to not think that.
How do you, if you had to guess, how would you think, what would be the answer to not thinking that?
If I had to guess a different thought, you mean the intentional model?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you just had to guess on how to do that, I mean, I think you know the answer, right? It's a matter of coming up with a new thought, right?
Right.
That you practice instead. And every time you hear, you know, fat and ugly come in, it's like, nope, we're not doing that today. You know, we're not thinking that today. We're thinking instead, or, you know, we're practicing, right? It's a practice, because that thought may come in forever, that, you know, first. But you can practice a new thought and work on believing something new about yourself. So what's something realistic that you could think about yourself instead?
See, that's the problem. I feel like anything the opposite or different from that would just be a lie, and it's not mm-hmm. realistic, and I can't believe it, and I can't mm-hmm. think differently.
So here's
anyway.
Here's something that is realistic. It's one of my favorite, you know, we call it ladder thoughts, right? Where,
okay.
where, you know, you kind of just, you move just a little bit farther from the original thought, right? And it could just be, I keep thinking I'm fat and ugly, and that's okay. You can, I mean, and you can put any thought in here, you can put any thought in here that you want, but it just reminds you that it's a thought that you're thinking, right? It's not a fact, because right now it feels really true to you.
But why is that okay then if I'm thinking that?
Because it's okay to think anything, right? It's okay to just have a, it's okay for it. You got to be first, be okay with that sentence being there in your mind, because you've thought it so much. It's not just going to disappear when you practice a new thought, right? That's, we call that kind of thought switching, and that never works. You can't just switch, you know, to a rainbow and daisies kind of thought. Well, no, I'm beautiful and, you know, wonderful, right? That's not realistic.
No.
And so this is really just step one, where it's just, it just reminds your brain that it's just a sentence in my mind, and I don't have to, you know, believe it. I don't have to eat over it, but it's just something that I've been thinking. It's probably something you may have been thinking for a long time, but it just reminds your brain that I keep thinking that. And that's okay. And the that's okay part just gives, like, brings in some compassion, because right now you're being really hard on yourself and beating yourself up and eating. Right?
Well, yeah. Even when I was thin, though, I was looking at some old pictures, and I used to be really skinny, and I did triathlons, and it's just been the last 8 years or so that I've, well, about the last 8 years, I've gained all this weight. And, but I've always had that thought, even when I was really skinny years ago.
There was a discussion about that, I think, in Facebook the other day, where it's just like, you know, it doesn't matter what the number is on the scale. A lot of times, if we are hard on ourselves, we're going to be hard on ourselves, what, no matter what we weigh. And this kind of thought is what helps you work on moving out of judgment of yourself and moving out of the shame of, you know, the shame that you feel, where it's just helps you be okay with where you are right now.
So I keep thinking like with my friends or something, and I get my feelings hurt. This thing goes through my head from some movie or something, that I'm the dumb, ugly, fat friend. Mm-hmm. I'm the duff. And I'm not dumb. I have a doctorate. I'm not dumb. But that's what I tell myself for some reason.
And another thing, I mean, Corinne uses this a lot, and she just says, that's just something my brain likes to think. That's another kind of thought that you can, when you hear that come in, that's just something my brain likes to think.
And how does that help?
It just helps you. It helps you remind yourself that it's just a thought, that it's not true. And that you don't.
It's not true.
It's not true.
But it, to me, it is true.
I know, and that's why you've got to remind yourself that is that thoughts are not all thoughts are not true. They feel true, a lot of them, especially the ones that you have thought over and over again. But you've got to just remind yourself that. I mean, do you want to keep thinking it?
No, I don't. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's true or not. You don't want to keep thinking it.
Right, I don't.
So the first step is that you want to remind yourself that it's just a thought and it's optional. You don't have to think it. Yeah.
And it's okay to think it.
But it's okay for it to be there, because your brain is just... is working the way it's supposed to, with just throwing up thoughts that are well practiced, that you've been thinking over and over again.
So if I do this and I say, okay, I keep thinking I'm fat and ugly, and it's okay to think like that, and it's optional. Mm-hmm. I just go on thinking that.
Well, you just, you know, that kind of brings you into like more of like a curious place, right? Where it's just like, okay, if this is just something I keep thinking, then everything is something that I'm just thinking, and everything is optional, right? You don't have to think anything about anything if you don't want to, right? It just brings in this curiosity place. And it, because right now you go from I'm fat and ugly to pain and shame and judgment. And then that's what causes you to eat.
How did you know that?
Because we did the model, right?
I do.
I mean, that's the cycle, because I've been in that cycle too. You know, we all have. And so it's, you know, you want to, you know, we're trying to not overeat around here, right? We're trying to cut back on that. And so you have to start with moving out of the shame and the judgment and the pain, right? We're not talking about, you know, happiness and rainbows here. We're just talking about curious and bringing in some compassion into your life, where you're not just beating yourself up all the time, where you're thinking, okay, this is just something that I'm thinking, and this is just my brain just kind of running a tape, right? The same tape over and over again. But it's just an optional thought, and it's not true. It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to feel true, but it just feels true because it's just so practiced and so familiar, right?
Okay.
And I mean, you're sitting here telling me that you know that you're not dumb, you know that, but your brain tells you that, right?
Yeah.
And so you know that's not true. And you thinking that you're fat and ugly is just an opinion that you have about yourself. And it's not a fact, because it can't be a fact, because it's just your opinion about yourself.
No, the fat part, that, I mean, I see where people could have different opinions about what's ugly and what's not ugly, but the fat part's a fact.
How is it a fact? For it to be a fact, everyone on the planet has to agree that you are fat.
Well, yeah, you would. Because
how do we know that? How do we know that someone who is 500, you know, pounds, would they think you were fat?
Sure.
There's one person on the planet who doesn't think that you're fat. I promise.
Who's that?
Someone. Because listen to this. There are countries where it is desirable for women to weigh, you know, a certain weight, right? You know, there's that, you know, men in that country would not think that you were fat. They would think that you were, you know, perfect and beautiful. Right?
Oh, yay.
Yeah. So it's not a fact.
What country is that?
I don't know. But that's where you got to start, is just really asking just opening up your mind to, if this wasn't a fact, what if this wasn't a fact? What if this just was not a fact? What if this was just my opinion about myself? And I could just think, I mean, yeah, again, you don't have to think, you don't have to go to the other end of the spectrum, but you can just think, okay, I am who I am right now. I'm working on myself, right? You could change from I'm fat and ugly to I'm working on myself.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go over to I'm skinny, right? And I'm, you know, but it can just, you can just move that way more into the middle.
So you said, what if this isn't a fact?
What if this isn't a fact that you are fat? Because to be a fact, first off, you've got to be able to prove it in court. You've got to, everyone on the planet has to agree for it to be a fact or a circumstance up here. I mean, those are facts. because they need to be universal facts, right? Where they're a fact everywhere you go. Everyone agrees that it's a fact. You know, I was going to say the sky's blue, but you probably could argue that that's not a fact, right?
But there's obesity guidelines and all that you could prove in a court of law.
But why
that
do you want
so,
to,
but I don't,
yeah. Why do you want to keep fighting for that?
Yeah.
Right? That's what you want to ask, like you want to keep fighting for your pain.
I guess because if I can figure it out, maybe I can change it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I can help you figure it out. It's just a thought that you're thinking. And you can change your thoughts.
Okay.
That's the solution.
How? How do I change that thought?
So you hear it come in and you say, that's just something that my brain likes to think, but we're going to think this instead. You know, it could be this, or you could even move on to, I'm working on believing I am working on myself right now. Or you could even go to, when we talk about like self-love and we talk about our body image, you just move to like from I'm fat and ugly to I have a body. Just like a very neutral kind of thought. Like I have a body.
Okay.
And
yeah, I do. Not judging. Great big one.
Well, that's your thought, right? That's the thought that's not serving you and that's keeping you in pain.
So when I have that thought, like, okay, you said I have a body and my mm-hmm. thought was, yeah, it's a great big one.
Mm-hmm.
What, how do I change that? How do I not do
First
that?
Off, you don't say it out loud anymore.
Okay.
Because when you say it out loud, your brain hears that and it's just another reinforcement of those old thoughts that you're working on changing. So you don't talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Out loud. And then you practice this new thought, but you know, it's now in your head and you can write it out just to become aware of it. But continuing to say it only reinforces those old thoughts.
Okay.
And, you know, strengthens them, right? You've got to put in reps, you know, talking about kind of strength here with that metaphor, like you got to put in reps of these new thoughts of, you know, I have a body and I'm just going to leave it at that. And your brain's going to think it's a big one and we need to work on it and all that kind of stuff. But you just say, no, I have a body, and you have to just repeat it over and over again, redirect your mind over and over again.
Okay. Yeah. I did do the self-love course and mm-hmm. tried to, you know, make those lists of
mm-hmm.
things like, okay, my body's given me two children and mm-hmm. all the, you know, the things that this body has done.
Yeah.
And then that's all in the past. That's all so long ago. That's all prior to gaining all this weight.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to think of some things that this body has done good.
Okay. Let's work on that real quick. What has your body done today for you?
Well, I took a walk this morning for about 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It carried me outside all around the neighborhood, got me out to hear the birds. My body can hear. Okay, I can see, I can touch, I can sing, I can read.
Mm-hmm. It got you like it gave you good rest, and then you were able to get up and get out of bed. Right.
Not so sure about the good rest part, but yeah, I did get up.
But you did get up out of bed. Okay.
I did get up. That's right. And I showered. I did my clean mind, clean body.
You got your clean body, right?
So that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I came up with a list of five things I'm in control of and
yes.
reached out to my Marco Polo group. I'm trying to do the things.
Mm-hmm.
It's these thoughts and the hurt feelings and the, so you say, no one else can hurt my feelings. It's what I think about what they say or do.
Yes.
That is
but
so
that's
hurtful.
Something that you have to, I mean, all of this stuff, right? All the self-love work, all this stuff, you have to be doing it consistently, right? It's not just a matter of doing it once and then thinking it's going to kind of stick, right? It's this consistent reminder of, oh, that's right. I'm feeling hurt right now. And I'm thinking that they hurt my feelings, but Betsy told me, no, that can't happen, right? It's something I'm thinking.
Okay.
What am I thinking, right? It's that ongoing, consistent practice of listening to your thoughts, right? And just being aware of your thoughts. And, you know, that's an ongoing thing. I've been doing this work for 5+ years. I find new thoughts all the time because I'm journaling every day and trying to uncover, you know, more and more thoughts that I just want to examine and look at, you know, without judgment, without shame, and just decide, okay, is this something I want to keep thinking or not? So that's the practice. That's the work.
Thank you.
All right. This is good. You asked such good questions. So I think this helped a lot of people.
Hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
No, it's
thank
good.
You.
All right. Take care. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.
That was so good. She asked such good questions. All right. Who is this? Quentin. Say, okay, I'll answer that question in a minute, Regan, if we can get Quentin up here. I'll go ahead and answer this question while she's getting up. I'm wanting and needing to level up my food choices to be more healthy and help my weight loss, but finding I don't have a lot of healthy things I like, which I know food doesn't have to be a party, but want it to be something I want to eat. I keep hanging up on where to start. I look for new recipes and don't find much that sounds good. Even seeing what people post in the foodies group. Any good thoughts or ideas on finding foods that will serve my body better? Thank you. So, I think it's just a matter of staying curious with it in terms of, I mean, you say, I don't find much that sounds good. And that's a thought, right? Like, that doesn't sound good. Maybe you need to work on a thought of something like, I'm just going to try this. I remember this kind of takes me back to, I was a very picky eater as a child. Like, I ate like my dad. I didn't eat a ton of vegetables. And I just wasn't real adventurous with my food. And then kind of as I got older throughout kind of my college and, you know, later on years, I think I kind of had a change of thought, right? Where I said, okay, I'm just going to try some things. And I think for you, you're kind of getting stuck because you keep thinking, well, that doesn't sound good, but you need to recognize that as a thought and say, okay, instead of that doesn't sound good, what could I think about this? Maybe this is something I could try, right? For you, it's going to be a lot of trial and error. You're going to have to just try things and see what you like and don't like. But coming at it from you could come at it from a place of even making it fun and from a place of curiosity and from a place of playing and or experimenting. Some people love to just kind of see things as experimenting and like they're kind of have more of a scientist type brain. And then other people like to see it as like a playing thing. Like, I'm going to just play with this and see what I like and see what I don't like. But it's all a fun process. And, you know, for you, I think you've got to kind of come up with a thought that will help you be more open, help you feel more open to different options. But again, just knowing that you're going to try some stuff that you don't like, and that's okay, because that's part of the process. That's part of playing. That's part of experimenting. So, because for so long I said, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. But that was just a thought. And I tried it again and I actually did like it. Right. So I just think for you, it's a matter of being more open to trying things. And, but knowing again that you're going to have things that you like and things that you don't like, and that's totally okay. And give yourself permission to throw it out if you don't like it, right? You don't have to eat anything you don't like, but you got to give yourself some opportunities to like new things. So that's my answer on that. Well, let me try another person here. What is happening? Okay, there's Simran. Again. Are you there? Hey.
Hi, sorry. I didn't think I'd be next. So I was multitasking.
I'm sorry. I didn't even say your name. And you were next on the list. So just take a second if you need to. And
okay. Thanks.
Get where you need to be. How do you pronounce your name?
Simi. Or Simi.
Oh, you're Simi. Okay.
Coming up
yes.
there.
Yes. Yes. Simi. I think I recognize your name.
Yes. Yes. It's been a while.
Yes. What's okay. going on?
Great. Is this okay for you?
Sure.
Okay, so when I had first joined this program, I really, you know, it works on the why behind everything instead of just, you know, what to do. And I'm very, like, I ask way too many questions. Like, I can never be okay with someone giving me rules without understanding the why behind it. So Corin stuff always, you know, the whole program worked really well. And it came naturally to me to like just enjoy myself, and the weight came off. And recently, I guess probably the pandemic is part of it, but I've gotten married and I noticed I gained a few pounds, but I feel like I'm also overwhelmed every time I try to start doing the program. Like, okay. I print it out, I write it every day, I'll fail at it. I have a bunch of stuff I want to do, and I just, like, overwhelm is, yeah, a big part. Like, I even started to think maybe I should do the opposite. Instead of writing what I'm going to eat, maybe I should give rules, like, not rules, but maybe I should go with, like, what I won't eat. Because I feel like I just set myself up for failure every time I make a plan.
Okay, so what is going on here? Why are you feeling overwhelmed by your food plan? So what is the thought in here? When you make your food plan and you look at it, what, mm-hmm. or you look at it throughout the day, what are you telling yourself that leads to overwhelm and then leads to you not following it?
What am I thinking? You're saying, what am I thinking when I'm making the food plan or after?
Either way, because I mean, it may start with you making it. I mean, sometimes we make it and we're like, oh, we can do this. This is, you know, this is doable. And, but then we go on with our day and, you know, and then a thought comes in like, oh, this is too hard. This is, you know, I can't do this or whatever. So what do you think is happening?
If you can help me with this, like what I'm seeing is like, I have like everything positioned outside of my kitchen, right? Like my kitchen island. And I've been keeping myself busy. There's all these things I've been wanting to learn and I've been excited about that. And I've been doing well, but it's also, I've been snacking a lot. Like, I don't want to not snack. It's like, I want to give in to mm-hmm. my craving.
Are you planning snacks?
So it's funny. Like, when I write it down, I write like every snack that I think I would want, which like, okay. perfect. I don't know.
That may be what's realistic for you right now, because all we're talking about right now is you making a realistic plan that you can follow. I don't care what's on it. You know? I mean, you just want to build the skill of making a plan that you can follow right now. And so, but what are you, so are you putting those foods on the plan? Are those foods that are on your plan when you're eating them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bunch of, like, I've gained 5 pounds, you know, and I'm trying not to go into that thinking of, oh, if I gain 5, I'm going to gain all 15 back. And I'm, trying to focus on where I want to be, mm-hmm. which is, you know, at least like another 10, I'd like to lose another 10 pounds, but mm-hmm. I think it has to also do with the fact that, so I started cooking, and cooking before used to be very overwhelming for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm cooking a lot of Indian food for my husband, and I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think I feel pressure to also sit and eat that with him. And normally, like when I wasn't living with him, or when, you know, my weight was different, I never, you know, I just kind of, it was different. I would maybe snack randomly throughout the day, and the dinner didn't have to be Indian food. Like, I don't think I'm wanting the same things he wants, but I cooked it and it's time for us to eat, and that's what I eat.
Yeah.
But because I don't feel fulfilled, I'll end up snacking throughout the day.
So you've got, you know, some decisions to make in terms of how you want to eat. You know, if you want to eat with him, then you have to plan accordingly, right? That means you might not be able to, I mean, if you want to eat with him and you want to be hungry, you know, when it's time to eat with him, and then you know, you may not be able to snack earlier in the day and things like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all just, we have what we want to do, and then we have what we know we need to do to, you know, maintain our weight or to lose weight. And so it's just a matter of, it's almost like you're overwhelmed by the some decisions that you need to make.
Yeah, that's my pattern. Like I have a bunch of things I want to do. Mm-hmm. Usually I get lost in one thing that I'm researching, or, you mm-hmm. know, and I don't get the rest done, and then I'm kind of all over the place. And I guess for a while I had managed to not eat so much. Like I might have a little bit of a candy, and then I go for the apple, or I drink more water. And I don't know what's happened recently, but I'm going back to the old ways, which was to give it to every craving.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it literally takes one or two times of just doing the old, you know, going back to that old pattern. And then your brain is like, oh, okay, we're going back to what we used to do. Okay, well then I'll throw up an urge every single time that, you know, that there's, you know, a snack to be had, because your brain is looking to go back to those old habits because that's what it's used to doing. And so that's why you've got to be so intentional with the plan, where it's like, no, my plan needs to have these new habits that I want to work on, and I am committed to following my plan. But it's almost like, okay, you have the urge and you think, well, if you have the urge, then you just need to respond to it.
I feel like I'm not able to find that happy medium. Like I do get that part. And mm-hmm. so I'll put all the urges down. Mm-hmm. But I know when I'm giving into the urge, it's just out of habit. And then what happens is that the going through the unintentional and intentional model, like I haven't really done one before, mm-hmm. that I avoid it. Mm-hmm. And so I never fully become mindful of what caused it, because I feel like even that overwhelms me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we don't have to worry about the models, but it's probably just, I just want it. I just want it. And I have a habit of giving myself what I want. That's probably your thought. Right? I mean, I just want
it. Yeah.
It's probably something as simple as that, right? It's not a deep, dark, complicated thought.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I keep looking for. Yeah.
I think maybe that's what you're looking for. And it's just like, no, I just want it. And I have this urge. Have you done the pre-urge worksheet before? I want you to go back. So your homework, I want you to go back to No BS and do the work on urges, which is in in phase 3 of No BS. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I want you to do is just really think about, I want you to make a realistic plan that has what you want on it, right? If you're going to make this food for your husband and you are going to want to eat it, you need to put it on your plan, right? Or if you don't, you don't put it on your plan.
Well, what if I don't know what I'm going to crave? Like, I have cookies and I have some other snacks that I always go to, but I don't. So I feel like I'm trying to beat the system myself by putting all the snacks and then just eating whichever ones I end up craving that day. Or, but that's not.
Maybe you have a craving and you practice not giving into that craving.
Yeah. That's where I'm struggling. How did I do it before? And how, why am I doing this to myself now?
How did you do it before? You've got evidence that you can do it. How did you do it? Take yourself back to a time when you had a craving for something and you didn't give into it. What did you tell yourself?
I think I took it like 15 minutes at a time kind of thing. But now that I think back, I also created a plan, even if it was odd, I created a healthy plan that still satisfied my craving ahead of time. So it felt like I was purposefully satisfying myself, and it just made it a little bit easy. Like the guilt wasn't there when I was giving in, like, oh, screw it. You know, I'm just going to eat it. Mm-hmm. Like if I had eggs, I would make eggs and I would have ketchup on the side and I had like pretzels because that fed the, you know, the carb part that I was craving. And now I've been so focused on giving love to my husband through cooking that I feel like that's my priority now. And then I schedule everything I want around it. I'm like more mindful about what she's going to eat than I am about what I want. And so then I end up feeding my cravings in between that time because I'm so focused on him. I'm too focused on him.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, I want you to go back and do you have your old plans, like your plans that you've done a while back?
Yeah.
That's always a really good exercise to just go back and look at those plans. That takes you back to that time and it takes you back to like the mindset of where you were, right? And for you, it's a matter of, okay, how can I have that same mindset, but also, you know, be, you know, cooking for my husband if that's what he wants, but, or, you know, if that's what you want to do, but remembering that, you know, love is in your mind, right? Love is, you know, a relationship is just thoughts in your mind about that person. So you cooking for him is just the circumstance, right? That's just you cook for him. But you're thinking something loving about him, and you can think something loving about him no matter what, without food or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm enjoying that he's loving it as well. Yeah. It's like, but it's new to me. So you're right. Maybe I haven't figured out a way to balance.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's, and then it's just deciding, do you want to eat with him? Why or why not? You know, it's definitely a good experience to, you know, to cook for him and then not eat and just be, but just sit with him and have a conversation. You know, that's another option to do. I mean, and so it's just thinking about what you want with this, with these new circumstances in your life.
Yeah.
And how you can kind of combine what worked for you before with what you're doing now.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
And definitely go back and revisit that no BS. It's always good to just go back through stuff. You know, you hear it differently every single time. So,
and the every time I do screw up, like it, not screw up, but you know, not follow the plan, it's always recommended to do the unintentional or intentional model, right? Because if I don't, then how am I going to become more aware?
You want to do the discovery worksheet.
The discovery worksheet. Yes. Okay. I didn't print that when I created. Yes. Okay.
You want to print out a bunch of discovery worksheets. It's on that worksheets page on the website.
Okay.
And you want to print out a bunch of those. And every time you eat off plan or you have an overeat, you want to fill one of those out so that you, and it's basically like you're talking, it's basically like you're figuring out, I mean, it's like a model, right? You're the unintentional, intentional model. You're figuring out what you were thinking that led you to overeat or to eat off plan. And then you come up with a way that you can think instead. And so it's the same work, but it's in a really good worksheet, and it helps you really drop the judgment on your overeating. Okay.
Okay.
So print out.
And then the journal, is that, maybe I'm trying to do it all perfectly, because now, like the first day I really enjoyed doing the journal, but it took a long time. And I don't know, if you have to say, of course, the plan is the biggest thing. Other than that, would you say that the discovery is the second biggest worksheet to fundamental one? Okay.
Yes, I would do the plan and the assessment. That is number one. And then everything else is bonus in terms of everything, all the other blanks that you want to, fill out. But the plan and the assessment for your food. And then if you go off plan or you have any overeats, do the discovery worksheet. That is the, the bare minimum for sure. And then everything else is above and beyond extra. That's what
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Cindy. And then, okay, Kelly, you said your name's Kelly. Kelly, let's try you again. If y'all have any questions, you can put them. Yeah, Kelly, it didn't work before, so let's try again. I bet you're Kelly Whitten, the same Quitten. Okay, let's try you again. Did you miss it? Because it's like, is it cutting out, y'all? Or did you miss that an hour of the call because of, is it because of the signal? Oh, you had a work Zoom. Okay. I did have a little bit of internet issue a second ago. Kelly? And anybody else who wants to get coached, y'all raise your hand because we got a little bit more time. Yeah, those of y'all in California are still at work, aren't you? I don't know what is happening with promote to panelist. There you are, Kelly. Okay. Oh, did I just, oh my gosh. Kelly, I'm sorry. Raise your hand again. I'm sorry, y'all. I think, Kelly, raise your hand again. I'm sorry, Kelly. We're going to do this. I promise. If we're on here all night. Okay. Unmute.
Okay.
Ask you to start your video. All right. There you are. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I was thinking I'm doing something wrong here.
Well, I think that Zoom is just a little slow because everyone's using Zoom now. And then I literally clicked the wrong thing and I took you back down. So that was my fault. Okay. So it's Kelly, right? Okay.
Yes, it is Kelly.
Yes.
I must have, the way I signed up, must have put the K, Witten, B.
Yes.
Which is, yes.
And there's some way to change that, but I'm not sure how. So, it's not a big deal. Okay. What's going on?
Well, the last couple of calls have been has really helped me. So thank you very much.
Good.
One of the things that you mentioned that kind of changes my question a little bit. First of all, first question I had, how long did it take to overcome these bad thoughts? Mm-hmm. I've had these thoughts for over 50 years, and I hear you and I've heard Corinne in listening and stop thinking those thoughts. When you've trained your thoughts to think that way, or you've been told something for so long, mm-hmm. it's how long is this going to take? Mm-hmm. you said no one can hurt your feelings but you. But I've been told I was a dummy. I've been told I'm never going to amount to anything. I've been told a lot of things for a long time since I can remember. I think my first thought of memory is when I was 7 years old and I was told, you know, I've been called a dummy. My nickname was Dummy, you know, all those things. And so how I handled those feelings, of course, is I overate. And then I've been on all the diets, and everybody has the same story pretty much. My thing is, you know, before I joined, I was hesitant because I was afraid of failing. Because I failed everything I've done so far. And I'm just like, how do I overcome that? I guess.
So let's start with, are you familiar with the model a little bit?
Just what you guys are doing right here.
I just joined last week.
So
you're feeling new, but it's very similar to what Sapphire was saying, where, you know, it's, you know, people have told you things, right? People tell me things. That's the circumstance. That's what the C stands for, right? That's the facts, right? Where, like, we could prove that someone said something to you, right? We could prove that in court or something, like a direct quote, right? And so, and then for so long, we have thought, you know, and people, you know, our parents tell, you know, don't hurt someone's feelings, right? We think that we have the power, and we think other people have the power to hurt us. And really what you're doing as a child, when you hear that as a child, the model still works with children too. But basically what you're saying in your mind, when someone says you're dumb, then you're thinking, as a child, you're thinking something like, I won't write it down, but it's like, they're an adult, they're an authority figure, they must be right, so it must be true, right? And so that's, and of course, that's in your formative years when your brain is forming, and that's how these thoughts form early in life, and they, you know, they stay with us, even when we're adults and we have, you know, a fully formed brain that can, you know, can see that, that, you know, some, it might be different, but we've just thought something for so long. And so, but now you're still thinking, you know, it must be true. And that is what creates your hurt, because you are thinking that whatever these people say or do, it might, you know, whatever these people say about me, it must be true. You know, you have to agree with them to feel anything. You have to think something to feel the hurt, right? Someone outside of you, words, things that people do, don't have the power to affect your emotions. Only you can through your thoughts. And so that's kind of what I was explaining to Sapphire as well, where it's always our thoughts. And so it's just, the first step is just recognizing through our thought downloads and our models that of what we're thinking now, right? Before we even ever work to change them, it's just, okay, I've got to move into just acceptance of that I am responsible for everything after this, right? That I'm an adult now, I get to decide if it's true or not. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's you know, you're brand new to all of this. So it's, you know, it's just something new to just really kind of let it kind of sink in and let it,
you're
curious about it.
Yeah. I guess because, you know, for 50 something years, I've heard, you know, believed that, I guess.
Yes.
I believe that. Yes. So trying to decide what's true and what's not true is what I have to work through. How do I know if it's true or not? Because it's something that's been implanted and embedded in me for so long.
But that's another, that kind of language, right? It's been implanted. Okay. It's been embedded. A lot of people say it's ingrained in me.
Right.
That makes this work that much harder. When you think that just makes, I mean, when I hear that, it's like, oh, well, that sounds really hard to change. Right. It's been 50 something years. Right. Right now, mm-hmm. you're just at a point where it's just like, okay, it's been that long, but what if just there's a possibility? I talk about kind of like just cracking open the door a little bit, a possibility that I could tell myself something new. That's where you want to be right now. You don't want to be thinking about new thoughts yet, but just, do you think it's possible that it's just something that you're thinking and that it's optional?
The door's cracked a little.
Okay. I see this light is coming into your face and I'm like, oh, that's the door coming open right there.
I guess if I can get anything out of the last 3 calls, mm-hmm. it's hope. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's right where you need to be. Like wherever you are is just right where you need to be. You don't ever want to be in a hurry with this work where it's just, how can I, an amazing question you can ask yourself every day right now as you're just growing and learning this work, right? And you're going through no BS and you're just saying, how can I open myself to this today? Just a little bit, right? How can I just crack that door open another little millimeter today? And that will help you stay out of overwhelm, stay out of, you know, doubt with this. And just how can I just trust this process, not be in a hurry, and just be open to it day after day, a little bit more every day. And that's where you new folks, that's where I just want y'all to be. Because I remember when I started going through all, you know, when I started learning all of this stuff and then I went to life coach school and learned how to teach it to other people. And I remember coming home and I didn't sleep because my mind just was on fire and was just kind of exploding a little bit. And that's where you all are, where you're just working on the possibilities right now. And that can be exciting. That can be hopeful, like you said. So just, you know, just keep with it. Keep with no BS. Are you into no BS into phase two yet?
Yes, just started.
Okay. So that you're right at the beginning of all the thought work stuff. And it's just take your time with it. Listen to the things more than once if you need to. Absolutely reach out and ask questions, you know, in the Facebook group or in Ask Coaches or come on here like again, like you did, and just really take it in at your pace, because it is, I will tell you from experience, it is life changing. I mean, you know, I feel like we walk around and we have this, like, we know the secret to life because we know that our thoughts create our results, right? That we don't have to, you know, anything in the world can be happening, coronavirus, people telling us things, people doing things. And we have the power to create our lives through our thoughts. And so it's just such an amazing gift. So you want to savor it. You want to just take your time with it. That's what I recommend.
Okay.
Do you have any specific questions right now?
No. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Okay. You take care. And then I want to see you back on here at, you know, another time as you move forward. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Right,
thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. Okay. Let me try this again, Kelly. Change role to, I'm making sure that I'm, there she goes. Okay. I think just Zoom is acting a little slow. Okay, we got a few more minutes. Y'all can raise your hand or ask a question. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Yeah, it's all about self-love, y'all. All these thoughts that we have all come back to self-love, for sure. So I think that self-love course is one of the best things that we have, and we're going to be definitely expanding over that, expanding on that over time. But self-love is the key to everything. Roz, let's get you on here. Are you there?
I think so. Let me
ask you to start your video.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Oh, there it is. Start the video.
Hey there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I love your hair, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Got a little bit chopped off.
I've seen you.
I know.
All right. I've been working through kind of, you know, the usual. Oh, sitting with urges, not sitting with urges. There's sort of an overall pattern. I mean, I've, you know, I hate to say tribe elder, but I mean, that's, you know, I joined in September of 18.
You've been around for a little while.
Yeah, I have. So I kind of noticed a pattern in overeating behavior where, you know, I'll do okay for, you know, really follow my plan. And then like little overeats creep in, travel creeps in, vacation, you know, but they don't creep in.
I was going to say, if I was Corinne, she would be calling you out already about the creeping in thing, right? Because nothing creeps in.
Yeah. These things happen, and some of them are choices. Some of them are, well, you know, they are a choice because I like to work, you know, I like to get paid.
They're all choices. Yes. All choices. Yes.
But, I do plan when I travel. It's not like, okay, everything goes out the window because I'm traveling. So what I have noticed is there's a kind of, there'll be a spike in the chocolate urges or the sweet and crunchy urge. Mm-hmm. And it just, it varies. It's not like, it's only this, it's only that. And it'll go up and it'll come down. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on a downward phase again, mm-hmm. but I'm having trouble with trying to get my daily chocolate, off the plan. What I've been trying to do is level it up. I'm not going, okay, now we're going to go cold turkey. I mean, you know, chocolate I know is not a true addicting material or mm-hmm. substance. All evidenced from the chocolate industry, notwithstanding. so I've tried, okay, I won't put it on the plan one day, and then I don't sit with the urge. So what has been working the last 3 weeks is something that I don't have a problem with, but I kind of would like to be able to sit in the living room with the kitchen right next to me, mm-hmm. as opposed to going upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, and it basically, you know, it's not social distancing. It's get myself away from where it's easy to go sit and munch. Mm-hmm. So if I go upstairs and, you know, stream video on my iPad or watch the other TV, it's down the stairs and then it's not as easy.
Well, you're thinking it's not as easy. You're thinking it when you're near the kitchen that it's easier, right?
Well, yeah, it's a lot closer.
Well, but those are just thoughts where it's in the kitchen and not eat and think that, you know, it's easy because that's what you're thinking, right? I mean, it's all comes back. There's, you know, the proximity to the kitchen is just a circumstance.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
and when I make that a bigger distance, then
your thought changes.
My brain says, hey, it's more work to go downstairs.
Your thought changes. Exactly.
So my thought changes.
You could absolutely, again, be sitting right next to the kitchen and say, well, it's a lot of work to get into the kitchen and eat because you could think it's going to be a lot of work to you know, to not lose this weight. Right. I mean, you've just got a good reason.
We're in this till I finish here.
I mean, you've got a good reason for not overeating when you're upstairs. You need to come up with a good reason for not eating when you're right next to the kitchen too.
Yeah. Is there anything else I can try? You know,
besides change your thoughts?
There's change the thought, but sort of the, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll try. I tried the one day. The other idea was, so instead of like three pieces, like three Hershey's Kisses, the Valentine's Day ones were really good. They were filled with chocolate ganache. yes, I am a chocoholic.
That's another thought that maybe isn't serving you all that much, right?
Well,
I mean, thinking that you, I mean, that could mean that you, I mean, you think that you're addicted to it and you think that
I just appreciate the good stuff.
You appreciate it. Okay.
Yes. But that's how I view being a chocoholic.
Just be sure that what you, how you're talking about yourself is serving you, right?
Right.
I mean, because, is it making it harder?
Yeah. No, I think it's just, you know, the discovery worksheets, you know, peel back the, okay, why did you eat that? Well, because it was a hard day, you were stressed. And so that tends to, I think, go with why it cycles more than anything else. Even though I can't really identify, okay, well, this was, you know, looking back at the calendar and matching them up, it's not like there's a cycle to, you know, okay, this was more stressed time, but...
So what does a hard day or stress have to do with chocolate?
Absolutely nothing. Okay. I'm not a dog and I don't deserve it. You know, I don't get treats, but I give in to the urge.
Yeah, because you're looking for, I mean, it's just easier to do that.
It's absolutely easier to do that. Yeah. So, you know, I'm kind of coming at this from sort of the thought side, but also the, all right, what pragmatic things can I try? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If I have three, go down to two. Is that another way to get
it? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, very slowly level up in terms of decreasing the amount for sure. And, you know, just keep it realistic in terms of, you know, if you think you're going to, you know, really the number needs to be realistic of what you're actually going to eat, you know?
Yeah,
or what you're going to choose to not eat in the moment, right? Because you can choose one or the other in the moment, but you need to have, you know, you want it to be realistic enough so that you can follow it, mm-hmm. right? And then, I mean, other things are that you can put sticky notes or kind of ways to interrupt your pattern when you have the urge, and let's say you didn't plan it or you've already eaten what you planned, then, you know, when you're in that urge and you go to eat it, you have some sort of interrupter where it's, you know, you have some sort of message on the chocolate or on the cabinet or on the, you know, door to the kitchen or whatever it is that reminds you, you know, do what you said you're going to do, Roz, or whatever, you know, whatever you need to tell yourself there.
Yeah, because it's not like I don't know what to do, and I'm you know, I can identify some of it. It's just, but I can give a shout out. Bobby Ritchie had put together this really cool worksheet, Before I Overeat.
Mm-hmm.
This was back when, is she Hot Mess Express, I think?
I think so. And yeah. Actually, we have a pre-urge worksheet.
Right. And it's, you know, that's, I printed out that one, you know, and that was the, so that's the one I kind of have like the picture of on my phone that I can find because I was able to squish it back down.
Yes.
I got it as editable text.
Yes. That is an amazing worksheet. I've got a lot of my private clients using that every single time they have an urge. And for those of you who are new or you haven't gotten to that lesson in OBS yet, it's all about, you know, when you have the urge, you fill out this, you know, and you have them at the ready, right? You got to have it at the ready in terms of when you have the urge, you fill it out and say, okay, what am I You know, what am I having an urge for right now? Why do I want it? And some really good questions about, like, you know, am I wanting to feel something or avoid feeling something right now? So what has been your answer to that question when you've thought about that?
This afternoon, I was, you know, wandering the kitchen because as I got tired, you know, working from home, you get chained to the desk a lot easier than I do in my office because my printer is half a step away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, so I went downstairs, I walked around the house to just stretch things out. And I'm like going, what do I want here? So I'm staring at the kitchen and I'm going, wait a second. One, as Kathy Hartman would say, what are you hungry for?
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, in that instance, I'm like, you're buffering, go, you know, go back upstairs and just go get that letter written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that basically, and that, and, you know, I think actually what I wound up doing was actually going outside to just get actual air.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, there's things you can do there where it's like, you know, Corinne talked about this the other day where she just goes, you know, gets up out of her desk and goes downstairs, not to even get anything or do anything, but just to get up from her desk and walk around. And, you know, you can, you know, avoid the kitchen if you want to, you know, just to.
That I can't do literally because my stairs dump me into the kitchen.
Okay. Well, you can walk briskly out of the kitchen.
I don't have to go in to where things are, but
there you go.
The physical layout of my house is.
But in that case, what were you hungry for? What was your answer to that?
I was buffering. I just was procrastinating in that instance. And yeah, so that not truly the late night eating, but the after dinner, you know, kind of close the day with a sweet. I've been playing with that and will something else work besides that or just saving one of my planned exceptions. So my planning has leveled itself up a touch that if I'm putting them on the plan, they're also going in under exception, not as part of my meal.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wait after dinner is like, you know, are you really hungry or are you just wanting something to end the day on, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, the when it's been a day of pulling my hair out between various things at work and, you know, it comes back to things that I know better. But the answer is I'm looking for comfort from the food.
Yes.
And then the discovery worksheet is, but that doesn't do it. And I know that. And so it's unwinding those years.
Mm-hmm. But it also sounds like you need to do some work around your work, right? Your thinking around your work. Because if you had your thoughts more in line with your work, then you wouldn't need that relief after you're done with work.
And yeah,
so why are you pulling your hair out at work?
Oh, let's see. Let me count the ways as I'm staring at my email. you know, It's any number of things that just need adjusting and, you know, including my, you know, how do I want to fix them from an actual, how do I want to fix it to, you know, we're thinking about the brain part. But what I really come down to when I analyze this is I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I need something that isn't food. I just, you know, it's a break. Yeah. And that's where I need to start recognizing that. And I'm not always doing that. And that's what I mean by I'm unwinding those years of habits of coming home and going into the pantry.
Yeah.
But I have to share, I found this really good water hack.
Okay.
I bought these little, I don't know, can you see these little tiny 8-ounce bottles?
Mm-hmm.
And that I can chug down like clunk. So I've been refilling them with, you know, just water and keeping them, you know, I'm getting more of my water in. So I'm excited about that little hack. I'm saving my 24
bottles are, you know, are like doable, right? You can just kind of down them and are they 8 ounces or?
Yeah, these are actually 8-ounce bottles.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I could find like a week and a half ago. So I bought them.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing, I think 24 of them is essentially like maybe a day and a half of water.
Yeah. So eight of them would be 64. And that's what we
recommend. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so I just kind of keep like about four that I keep rotating at the moment because I still have other ones that are still full. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a really cool hack. I like this one.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you're doing the work. You're doing the work, right? I mean,
I am doing the work, and the thought work has been the slowest part to kind of tag along. But, you know,
but that's what's going to make the real difference, because you can have all the hacks in the world. You can have all the, you know, the tips in the world. But if you're still thinking, you know, that I want that and you're giving it to yourself, or you're having thoughts about work where that you need relief from, you know, a lot of times we suggest that, you know, a lot of y'all are working from home now, so you don't even have to do it in the car or anything on your, you know, but you just do a thought download between work and home, and, you know, and being off, right? Where you just empty out your brain from the end of the day. And then that will really give you a lot of the relief that you need that you're now getting from food.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all recognizing the habit, the behaviors, right. And then you can do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, that's been the first part, is mm-hmm. getting that behavior to like not stop the behavior, but slow down so that I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then go forward. You know, so that's where I mean, the thought part is coming in.
Yes.
Just more that slowly.
Pause. That pause is, you know, is huge, right? When you realize, you know, before you go for the food, wait a minute, what is really happening here? That's the first step for sure.
Yeah. And then the thought work on, you know, how do I think that, and that sort of thing is coming slower than the four basics.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
This is a journey, you know, of 1,000 steps that starts with one.
It's not a race. There's no timeline. There's no deadline. I'm planning on I'll be here. I'll be here whenever y'all are ready. So.
Well, I'm planning on keep going no matter what. Right. You know, I have more weight to lose and it is coming off.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's a process. It's a journey. All right, lady. Well, good to talk to you, and just keep going with that work. Okay.
It's good to see you. I hope get to see you in May, but if not, I'm going to see what I can do with October. I have no idea if those dates work.
All right. All right. I'm ready to get back to Nashville for sure. All right. See
well,
ya.
Me too. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
How do I end this?
Let's see. I think I can. It's just working slow, Roz.
Yeah, I was wondering what.
There you go. Oh, cut off Roz. Okay, Lisa, we'll finish up with you. All right. There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let me flip this so I can. Okay. All righty. What I am having trouble with is nighttime eating, mm-hmm. and it's just creeped in. I haven't normally, I mean, it's not a pattern that I've had for a long time. And so just recently, it's this nighttime eating, and it's caught me off guard, and I've done discovery worksheets on it, and it's mainly just trying to process my day, and I'm tired, and I think I just want relief.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's important to even before we move forward, it's important, just like I was saying to Roz, nothing creeps in, nothing catches you off guard, right? You're always making a choice.
Okay.
So you just have to really start there in terms of just taking ownership of your choices, right? And that's not to judge yourself or to beat yourself up, right? It's just, I've started choosing to do this because, and it sounds like, you know, I mean, it sounds like it's pretty clear, like, because I'm looking for relief And, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of choices has kind of turned into a little pattern. I mean, you know, it's become a pattern, right? Because I swear it only takes a couple of times for you to do something. And your brain is always looking for patterns. It's always looking for, like, you know, trends. And mm-hmm. so if you do something two or three times, you know, regularly, it's like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. Let's just keep doing this. I'm going to keep throwing up an urge every time, you know, 8 o'clock comes around or whatever it is. So just, hey, it's taking ownership for it first. But so you think it's, you're looking for relief.
I do.
From yeah. what?
Life. No. No. I think it's just, well, I think it's deeper than what I'm thinking it is, which is why it hasn't worked.
Okay. Because
I work at a retail outlet, and then we've had extra, well, I work for Walmart. So let's just say, and it's been crazy.
I'm in Arkansas. I'm in Walmart country. So, yes. So I know all about Walmart. So,
so we are doing different jobs than what we normally would do. And so there's a little bit of difference there. And so, I'm coming home and I just really feel physically tired. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just trying to think of, I've been working on feeling worthy mm-hmm. and with myself. And I guess there's just some of that judgment. I think I'm talking myself through this.
I know you are. I'm just listening.
I think there's that judgment of myself of whether or not I'm doing, of myself being worthy.
Mm. Worthy of what?
Of, I guess worthy, I'm such a people pleaser. So I think that first of all, worthy of losing weight, of worthy of myself being able to do this.
Just worthy of taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Yes. That's what it is. Yeah. Because I have a hard time taking care of myself. And some of the things that I've done in the past, you know, taking a bath, you know, on today's self-care, it was take a bath, wash my hair, walk, listen to this call. You know, I'm finding things and it's expanding, but it doesn't seem like I'm truly figuring out what I need to do to take care of myself. Wow. I didn't think this was what was going to come up. Mm-hmm.
So why do you think, so what do you think that is? What do you think it's going to take to truly take care of yourself?
Oh, I hate it when people say, I don't know.
Yeah. You can't say, I don't know.
What do I think, well, some of the things that I've heard, but I haven't tried, and I'm just now remembering, are doing gratitude journaling or something along the lines of that I am worthy.
It really comes back to your thoughts because, like, you know, you're doing the bath and the listening to this call and, you know, and doing that kind of stuff, but it's got to come from a place of, I deserve this because, you know, I'm worth it. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm worth it. And then that creates a feeling of worthy. And you do the things, the, you know, we'll call it self-care.
Okay.
You know, activities. And then, you know, that proves your thought that, you know, I'm worth it. I mean, and self-care activities includes, you know, not overeating.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's part of it. Following your plan, making a, you know, your plan is a commitment that you make to yourself. And that's another way of self-care. That's another way of taking care of yourself. But it has to start, I mean, well, I say it has to start with at least a thought like, I'm working on believing I'm worth it. And, you know, even if you don't quite believe it yet, you want to just start practicing, I'm working on believing, or I'm open to the possibility that I'm worth it. That helps you feel worthy, but you still have to keep doing these actions, even when you don't quite believe that you're, you know, that you deserve them and that you're worth it. But just keep doing the activities and then it'll start to prove your thought true and strengthen that thought over time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I'm tired and I'm on my way home, I work evenings. So usually my husband is already asleep, so I'm not getting that time with him to kind of talk. But a lot of times I don't want it because I want to just come home and veg out in front of the TV like a lot of people. And that includes, you know, eating. Right. So I can, there's a moment right there where I'm, I can see the thought and then I'm dismissing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I need to take care of myself, mm-hmm. but you know, there's,
I mean, there's something you could do right then, like right when you get home. Like I was saying to Roz, you know, like we talk a lot to a lot of people about, you know, right when you get off work, dump your brain out, right? Where it's just whatever happened at work, just get that out, whether it's, you know, in the car, you know, at work before you start the engine, or maybe in the car right when you get home before you walk into the house. Even if it doesn't have to be a super long thing, it could be even like you just said, you writing out, this is my time to take care of myself.
Okay.
Right? Just to remind yourself, because you're already, that thought is already kind of, you know, percolating there.
It's, yeah, those Discover worksheets really, they work.
Yeah.
It's just that I was
reminded because you're tired at that moment, and so your brain isn't quite mm-hmm. as on point. And so even you could just have a sticky note on your steering wheel or on the door when you walk in, or on your cabinet where you have your food or whatever. You know, I'm taking care of myself tonight, or this is my time for me, or whatever it is. And those can be little reminders so your brain doesn't have to work so hard to kind of redirect itself when
yes.
you're home. And also just set up a little routine for yourself. You could do that in the evening where, you know, you do things that, you know, that give you that relief. Whether it's just right when you walk in, you just give yourself 5 or 10 minutes to just sit and do nothing, right? Or whatever it is, to just give yourself those hits of relief that you're looking for through the food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
So that's what, and it's just a matter of, you know, of building some new habits and interrupting some patterns that aren't working for you. So you're on your way, I think. You're open to that, but it's just a matter of putting a few more things in place so that when you're tired, it just makes it easier for you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, good call. All right. Talk to you later. Okay, bye. I'm telling you, I keep going. I'm pressing the wrong button tonight. Okay. All right. Let's see if there's any other questions. Okay. Yeah, there are a few questions here. Okay. Answer these few questions, and then we'll get out of here. Azizi says, do you recommend doing No BS and the April Challenge simultaneously? I mean, it's up to you. It's totally up to you. The April Challenge is totally optional. I'm covered up my face with the Q&A box. it's totally optional, but here's the deal. you make it your own, right? If you want to, I mean, definitely if you're going through no BS and you want to keep going, that's, you know, we want you to be going through no BS at your pace and not stopping no BS to go through that. The April challenge is just above and beyond. It's just a little bonus. And here's the thing with the April challenge. You don't have to do all four of the areas, right? Of control, connection, movement, and clean-minded body. You could just choose one. You could say, okay, I'm going to, in my journal every day, I'm going to write down one thing I'm in control of, right? Let's practice some imperfection, y'all. Let's practice kind of making things our own. And just saying, okay, I'm just going to do that. That's enough for me this month. But we have these fun challenges just to have a little bit of extra something going on, but none of it is required. We want y'all focusing on no BS and focusing on losing weight, right? Okay. What should you do if you feel like someone in your accountability group is over opinionated? It's as if she feels she is superior. It's irritating me and making me want to break up with them. Okay. First off, I want you to work on your thoughts around your accountability partner. So if we put it in the model, move my box over so I can see my screen. Just to put it in the model. I'll kind of start you off on your model. I want you to do a big thought download if you haven't already. But it's accountability partner said blank. That's the only circumstance we got here. You've got a lot of thoughts just in your questions, right? She's over opinionated. She feels she's superior. And you feel irritated. She's over opinionated and superior. It's so interesting that you think she's over opinionated when you have your own opinions about her, right? You're doing the same thing that she's doing. You're having opinions about her. Right? And we all get to have our opinions. You know what Corinne says? Opinions are like assholes. We all have them, right? She's got her opinions and you've got yours. And so we all just, you know, we're all judging each other around here. But that you're choosing to feel irritated about that. And then you're, you know, considering breaking up. And probably worrying about it. And it's just, and the result is that, you know, you're doing the same thing that she's doing. You're, you know, you're swimming in your opinions. You're just, nothing is changing, right? You're just not, you know, she's judging you, you're judging her, and nothing is changing. So I want you to work on an intentional model for this first before you make a decision. I mean, there's, you can absolutely break up with your group if you want to, but you want it to come from a place other than irritation, right? You want it to come from a place of, you know, that you like, right? You want it to come from a place of decisiveness, you know, with, okay, this is what's best for me because of whatever reason that you really like. So that's kind of where I want you to start and take that over to Ask Coaches. Do some models on that, do a thought download on that, and then see where that goes and then take it to Ask Coaches or get back on here with one of us and we'll kind of talk you through it. Okay. But you just want to recognize where you are now and then where you want to be when you know that you can't change this, right? You can't change what people say or do, but do you want to keep having those opinions and feeling irritated or do you want to do something different? Can you please tell me where the pre-urge worksheet? Yes, it is. And I will actually post it as a link to in the show notes. But it is in No BS. pull it up here. And it is in phase 3, overcoming overeating. And it's under what to do with urges, cravings, temptations, and more, processing before an urge. And so when you go to the, it's called the pre-urge worksheet. And I've been mentioning it through several calls tonight where my favorite question on there is, you know, so when you have an urge, it says pre-urge, but it's basically the, like, when you get an urge, right? And so you want to print out a bunch of these and then ask yourself these questions when you are having an urge. And you do the date and time, where you are, what you're wanting to eat. And then it asks you, am I avoiding doing or feeling something right now? And like with Lisa that I just talked to, she was basically avoiding feeling tired, right? She was avoiding feeling unworthy. And so you discuss that. Are you avoiding doing or feeling something? With Roz, she was avoiding doing work. She was procrastinating on her work. And that's why she was having that urge. Am I trying to create feelings like relief, connection, etc.? If so, what and why? Most of the time, y'all, you're looking for some kind of relief from something when you're overeating. Is there anything else I can do right now that is easy and will keep me from eating? That's just what I talked to several of y'all about tonight, right? We just basically went through this worksheet with our coaching where, okay, what can you come up with? That, you know, for Roz, what's been working for her is she's been upstairs, right? She's been farther away from the kitchen. But if she wants to be downstairs and closer to the kitchen, she needs to work on her thoughts around that. And that's kind of her next thing to work on. With Lisa, she's gonna, you know, do some sticky notes, right? That might be an easy thing to keep her from eating, or, you know, have a sticky note on her in her car to remind her that she's gonna take care of herself tonight, those kind of things. And then the last question is, if I choose to eat tomorrow morning, I will wish I had what? And so that is an amazing question that takes you to your future self, right? It takes you out of the moment. That's what when you're in an urge, it's like nothing else matters but just eating right now. You're just totally in the moment, right? You're not thinking about the past. You're not thinking about the future. You're just in the moment. This question forces you to think about your future self. And how are you going to be thinking tomorrow if you choose to eat right now? I mean, it's a game changer, because if you can get out of your present moment and out of that urge for a minute and think, I'm going to be hung, you know, maybe you have an urge to have a glass of, you know, glass or two of wine tonight. Oh, I'm going to feel hungover tomorrow. I don't want to feel hungover tomorrow, right? It just takes you out of the moment and into your future self. And how do you want to show up in the morning, right? So it's an amazing worksheet. So print out a bunch of them, just like the discovery worksheet, have a bunch of them on hand so that when you have an urge, it's just like, oh, or just have the list of questions on your phone or on a piece of paper and just answer the questions, right? There's nothing magic about printing out the worksheet. You just want to have those questions somewhere where you can answer them. Okay? Makes sense? All right, guys. Well, this was fun. Lots of good questions, lots of newbies. And I'll work on getting this call up tomorrow. Let's see what we have coming up later on. So Corinne will be on Saturday for the Q&A at 9 a.m. So that will be, I believe, our next call. And so look for that. And then we'll just keep moving forward. All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you again soon. Bye.